Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 6. Luke, chapter 6. We'll read verses 32 through 38 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Luke, chapter 6, verses 32 through 38. Luke 6, verses 32 through 38. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. But be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. And let's finish on verse 38 together. Ready? Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And I'll read yet one other verse. You need not turn there. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 reads, Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And let's pray. Father, thank you once again for our church. Thank you for the busyness of the work here. It's good to know that you're a part of all aspects of it. Now, Father, please, as our preacher preaches, fill him with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen so that we could go out and reach others for you. Lord, sure is good to be here, and thank you for your presence here. In Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated.
I'm not ashamed of the fact that I want my church to be spiritual. We virtually live in a day and age where churches are trying to figure out a way not to look spiritual. And I'm repulsed by that thought. This is a church. And a church is a holy place. And God's people are to be holy people. I shared in one of our men's prayer meetings recently the truth that I'm going to share with you today. Now, there, it took me about 10 minutes. Don't get your hopes up about the length of the truth, because it won't be a 10-minute sermon. Let me ask you a question. And I would like every individual here, whether you're a very young Christian or you've been in the church for years, whether you're a visitor, whether you're a regular attender, let me ask you a question. Do you get your prayers answered? Now, I'm not playing religion now. I don't want to try to impress each other. You just answer that question in your heart. I wouldn't want to have you answer it in front of everybody, because we lie about this. So rather than tempt you to be deceptive, I'll let you answer the question in private. Do you get your prayers answered? When was the last time you received something from God that you specifically asked Him for? You know, most people behave like atheists when it comes to the matter of prayer. We almost live as if He does not exist. Oh, we may pray over a meal. We may pray at a church service because someone led us in a prayer. For some of you, there's been more prayer take place in your life in the last 30 minutes of this church service than took place all week long, because you took no time to talk to God. Oh, when we have an emergency, we dial 911 God. Because, you know, when you're in an emergency situation, you suddenly need prayer. We've got to get to Him. I was thinking this morning I was looking for some notes that I needed, something that would help me with this sermon. And when I had it stuck in a file folder, I had it stuck in a file cabinet in a drawer. If you'd ever seen the drawer that all my sermon outlines are in, it is packed. I'm sure, this is not an exaggeration, there are 1,000 pieces of paper in the one drawer where I knew the notes for this particular sermon were. I just needed one little piece of paper where I jotted an idea down, and I walked toward the file cabinet, and I said, "Now, Lord, I really don't have a long time. I need to find that paper quickly." I went to the top of the stack. I looked at the first paper. It was not it. I looked at the second paper. It was not it. I looked at the third. I looked at the fourth. Then I glanced back over at how big a pile of paper was in that filing cabinet. I looked at the fifth paper, and there it was. And it just set me back. It virtually set me back. I'd asked for such a little thing, and he had provided such a little thing. What would happen if we just believed in prayer? What would happen if we really believed it? But people today, they don't pray. I could have had to look through 995 other pieces of paper. And there have been other days when I did. You ever go through one of those days? It's always the last thing in the stack instead of the first. But this time I prayed. But why don't we pray? In the Old Testament, the Bible says of David, it said that David mused why the fire burned. That word muse there, that word is a word about, it's a prayer word, it's a meditation word. The Bible says that David was praying and meditating while the fire burned. It is where we get the word a muse, which is the exact opposite. A muse, a meaning not meditating, not praying, a muse. That's why America is more interested in amusement parks, non-thinking places where you get entertained, than thinking places and prayer time. We want to be with the crowd instead of be with Jesus. But I ask you again the question, do you get your prayers answered? Maybe today I could give you a little truth that could help you to understand prayer a little better. Now, the Bible's a book that never contradicts itself. Now, there's people that would say, "Oh, that book contradicts itself." I had a man say that to me one day. He said, "Oh, that book is full of contradictions." So I took my Bible and shoved it in his chest, and I said, "Then show me one." He said, "Well, they're in there." I said, "Show me one." He said, "Well," I said, "I have time. Show me one." And then he became very quiet. This is not a book of contradictions. God is not a contradictory God. The book does not work against itself. It works for itself. Each truth interlocks with some other truth, like a jigsaw puzzle. And if we get all those truths in their proper place, then a beautiful picture can be painted. Each truth is almost like another gear in the engine of life. You take a gear, it's got teeth, and then a second gear, and they mesh together. And the truths of God mesh together, and then that engine of all the gears of the truth of God help us to go forward. The Holy Spirit empowers the movement and lubricates, and then suddenly our life goes forward for success. Each truth in the Bible is a little bit like a different ingredient for a recipe. Get the right ingredients, you can have a pretty tasty meal as a result of proper ingredients. Now, you have to understand something. Many of God's promises have some prerequisites. It's almost like you play chess with God. You move, then He moves. You move, then He moves. Now, here's the thing. It's always your move. He's a real fast mover. You know, you think before you move, God just like that. You move, He moves. You move, He moves. You move, He moves. For instance, the Bible says, knock. That's your part. And it shall be opened unto you. That's His part. Your move, knock, His move, it shall be opened unto you. Seek. That's your part. And ye shall find. That's his part. Your move? His move. Your move? His move. Ask, and ye shall receive. Ask, that's your part, and ye shall receive. That's his part. Your move? His move. Your move? His move. Give your move, and it shall be given unto you. His move. See, there are some prerequisites to some of the promises of God. God said, you make your move, I'll make my move. God does not come to us and say, I'll give you anything you want, no prerequisites, hey, live any way you want, do anything you want, I'll just give you anything you want. I'm very sorry, that is not the way prayer works. It's not the way God works. Prayer is a part of this, your move, his move. Your move, his move. Stay with me. Let me start at the simplest spot for this concept, if I could. Number one, let me explain to you what prayer is. Prayer is asking. Prayer is asking. Luke 11, verse 9 says, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Now, the text there, if we read all that goes along with it, that text is about prayer. And listen to me, my dear friend, you may not even know me, but I would like to help you today. Did you know there's a God, and he has all sorts of things for us? He would like to give them to us, but if we don't learn to pray, and we don't learn to pray according to his book, then we're not going to get those things. There are people in this room. You're doing without. And I don't want you to do without. I'd like for you to have some things. But you're going to have to do it God's way. Prayer. The word prayer means asking. In most places in the Bible, you could interchange the word prayer for asking. Now, we're not going to do that because we got enough people perverting the Bible. If it says prayer, it means prayer. But let me tell you, the word prayer, its definition, most of the time in the Bible is asking. Matthew 18, verse 19. That if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, they shall ask, it shall be done for them. What's it saying? Ask. Pray, and it shall be done. When a person says this, oh God, I pray. Oh God, I pray unto you. Well, what you're saying is, oh God, I ask unto you. And if you go to your prayer time, and all you do is say, oh God, I pray. Oh God, I pray unto you. Oh God, I pray. You know what you're saying? Oh God, I ask. Oh God, I ask. Oh, God, I ask. You know what he's doing? He's in heaven saying, for what? Come on, ask for something. Just murmuring the word prayer is not praying. If you want something, tell him what you want. And some of you don't get your prayers answered because you don't ask for anything. You need to learn to ask because prayer is asking. Prayer is not really the same as praise. Now, when you set aside time to pray, you could do some praising, but prayer and praise are not really the same. You praise him for what he does. Prayer is asking. Praise is you spend some time praising him for what he does. But prayer also is not adoration. We should adore him. I love the song, Father, I adore you. Father, I adore you. I love the song. But I'll tell you something. Adoration of God is not really prayer. That is where we adore what he is. Now, praise is praising him for what he does. Adoring him is adoring him for what he is. He's eternal. He's love. He's just. He's fair. But wait a minute. Adoration is not really prayer. Prayer is asking for something. Praise is not prayer. Praise is praising him for what he does. Hey, meditation, that's thinking. That's not really prayer. Prayer is asking for something. Confession. Though you may talk to God when you confess, the word prayer in the Bible means asking. In James chapter 4, verse number 2, the Bible says, you have not because you ask not. What does it mean? You don't have because you don't ask. What is asking? It's prayer. The Bible is packed full of examples of prayer being asking. For instance, in Luke chapter 18, verse 13, there's a story of a publican who is praying in public, and a comparison made between he and another. And one guy, he was just showing off in prayer. But this publican, when he began to pray in Luke 18, 13, he said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." What was he doing? He was asking God for salvation. He asked for it. Because prayer is asking. In Matthew chapter 14, verse number 30, Peter, he has stepped out onto the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is there. Peter holds the all-time record for water walking. He didn't take many steps, but he did walk on the water. And when Peter stepped out of the boat to walk out onto the water to Jesus Christ, he realized his steps were getting a little soggy. And Peter, he says this, he says, "God," he says, "Lord, save me." Three words, "Lord, save me." Now what was he saying? "I need a lifeguard. I'm asking for somebody that can keep me from going under." And the Bible says, Peter asked of Jesus that he would not sink and drown, and he received. What was it? He asked. What is asking? Pray. He spoke to Jesus. He asked for something. It was a prayer. You know, to pray, you don't always have to have your head bowed and your eyes closed and be on your knees. You could ask. For instance, I have been speaking to you for about 12 minutes now. And within the last 12 minutes, in the privacy of my mind while I was talking, I was saying, "Lord, please help me to get this. God, I ask that they would understand this. I ask that they'll get a hold of this truth." It's asking. It's asking. Prayer is asking. Many times we don't have what we want because we don't ask for what we want and need. In Mark chapter 10, verse number 47, it says this, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Here's somebody asking for mercy. People ask for salvation and ask for things of God. The word prayer is equivalent to, it is equal to asking. Now, so prayer is asking. Number two, totally different concept. Listen to me carefully. I'm going to shift gears. So it's connected here, so you listen carefully. God has also established a principle called sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Now, at our house, we have a great big, I don't know what you call it, a great big tub. Mrs. Owens wanted to plant some tomato seeds. Now, we don't have time for an entire garden. Our life is too fast moving for that. But she said, "I want to get some tomato plants, and I'm going to get me some tomatoes, and I'm going to grow some out there." So she took a couple big old tubs, and she got some good soil and put it in there. She planted some tomato seeds. And you know something? You know what's growing out of that tub? Tomato plants. And you know what's on the plants? Tomatoes. Isn't that deep? She sowed tomato seeds and she reaped tomatoes. Now, if you plant corn seeds, you know what you're going to get? Corn. You plant apple seeds, you're going to get apples. You hear about the blonde that was planting Cheerios? She's trying to grow donut trees. The Bible tells us there's a thing called sowing and reaping. "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Do you really believe in sowing and reaping? In Luke 6:38, it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." What is it saying there? You give, you sow, and then what will you reap? It'll be given unto you. Be a giver, sowing. Be a reaper, and it'll be given unto you. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 8, "If you sow to the flesh, then you will reap to the flesh." Hey, if you're mean to someone, then someone is probably going to be mean to you. Why? Because you sowed to the flesh meanness, so you will reap some meanness somewhere along the way. Then, it says, "Sow to the Spirit, And then you're going to reap spiritual things. Hey, if you sow goodness, if you're good to someone, then someone will be good to you. You're good, you sow the seed of goodness, then you will reap goodness in your life. So you can sow good, receive good. You can sow bad, receive some bad. But the concept of sowing and reaping is very clear in the Bible. You plant corn, you're going to get corn. You plant good, you're going to get good. You plant bad, you're going to get bad. Now, hang on. Prayer is asking. God has established a principle called sowing and reaping. Now listen, this is where the sermon becomes far more serious. Is it possible that we reap what we have sown in regard to prayer? Is it possible that we reap what we have sown in regard to prayer? Remember, prayer is asking. And we believe in sowing and reaping. Listen to this. Does God ever ask anything of you? Does God ever want anything of you? Hey, God asks us to do many things as Christians. The Bible, He's constantly making requests of things that we ought to do, ways we ought to live, how we ought to behave. God is constantly asking things of us. Well, wait a minute, what does the word ask mean? Pray. It's almost as if God asks us, it's almost as if we pray to God, but wait a minute, if God asks things of us, does God pray to us? Now, I do not mean He falls down and reverences us. I mean this, though, God does ask things of us. We ask things of Him. I ask you the question this morning, though, if we believe in sowing and reaping, is there some possibility that we reap in our prayer life what we have sown in regard to God? Do you answer God's requests of you? When God asks you to do something, do you answer His requests? Do you expect God to answer your prayers when you won't answer Him? That seems a little unreasonable, doesn't it? You mean you plan to call on Him when you want something and you expect Him to give it to you, but when He calls on you, you won't give Him what He wants? Do you believe in sowing and reaping? Good. Is it possible the reason you do not get your prayers answered is because when God asks something of you, you're not willing to give it to Him? Is it possible you will reap Him answering your prayers because you have sown by answering His? Will He give you your requests because you have given Him His requests? Listen to Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. That's what the Bible says. Your answer may be somewhat dependent on your answering. Are your prayers not being answered because you don't answer God when He makes requests of you? I was thinking, Mrs. Owens has for many, many years had a policy that when we're driving and she hears, or if driving or not, if we're anywhere and she hears a siren, whether it's a fire truck, whether it's a police officer, an ambulance, whatever it is, she always immediately prays for whoever's hurt or whatever, the victim or whatever's happening. So if we're somewhere and she hears that siren, I'll watch her. She'll bow her head. She'll close her eyes privately. She'll begin to pray that God would bless whoever is hurt. We were one day in our hometown and she heard the sirens. And as always, she prayed that God would bless whoever was hurting. In a moment, her cell phone rang. When her cell phone rang, the person on the other end was, I think, her sister. And her sister said, "Sherry, they just took Mom to the hospital. She's had a stroke. And the ambulance just went through town." Huh. Guess who she was praying for? And you know something? I got to thinking about that. I got to thinking about all the times that she prayed for others on the way to the hospital, and without even knowing it, today, she prayed again for somebody she wasn't even sure of, and it happened to be her own mother. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that prayer benefited her that day. What are we talking about here? Sowing and reaping. Now listen, God's a good God, and I know that. And He meets many of our needs. He is far better to us than what we deserve. And I believe that He takes care of us beyond our service to Him. There's no doubt about that. But I also believe that many of us do without many of our desires because we make God do without His desires in regard to us. Because I believe in sowing and reaping. I believe prayer is asking, and I believe in sowing and reaping, and I think there are times when God would ask of us and we won't give Him what He wants. Why should He answer your prayers then? I do not think God is this great big Santa Claus in the sky. You can live any way you want, do anything you want, behave any way you want, reject Him, say no to Him, push Him away. I don't want you. No, I won't live that way. I'm uninterested. Then you go to Him and say, oh, God, give me this. And He says, no problem. No way. There are some prerequisites. Let me show you what I mean. You make the request. I want my daddy saved. Maybe you're here today and your father is not born again and you would like him to be saved. You go and you say, oh, God, save my dad. Then let me tell you what God's request is to you. God's request to you and to I is then you go get some of my sons and daughters saved. You go get some of the other people saved. Let me tell you something. If you have a loved one that's unsaved, I can give you some real good advice. If you want to be in good favors with God, why don't you go get somebody else's dad saved? You may not be able to figure out how to get your daddy to receive the gospel, but go get somebody else's daddy and teach him the gospel and help him to get saved. You say, I really would like my brother to get saved. Okay, maybe you don't know what to do. Maybe you're not the one that will reach your brother, but I'll tell you what you could do. Go find somebody else's brother and get them saved. Why? When you pray and say, God, save my brother, I guess he might feel a little more obligated since you went and you answered his request. Because his request was that you and I, the Bible says in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. It says, for the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. What we ought to do is we ought to be telling others about Christ. Why? Because sometimes we find ourselves in need of answer to prayer in regard to the saving of the soul of someone we love. What would happen if you and I, we answered his request? It would seem to me, if sowing and reaping is in the Bible, and it is, that we could reap more if we would sow more. Let's sow the getting of people saved, and we might reap our loved ones being saved more quickly. Tell others of Christ. Let me give you another example. Money. You say, you go to God, and oh, God, I need money to make my mortgage payment. Oh, God, I need the money to pay my rent. All right. Your request is the money to take care of your housing. I wonder if God makes a request. I wonder if God says, you make sure you're faithful with your tithe and offering to take care of my house payment through the church. You know, there are so many people out there, they go to God, they want to beg God for money for their home, but God's asked them to give and they won't. Now, isn't it a little bit unreasonable that if God would ask you to give and you won't answer his request, why should he answer yours? Why you don't believe in prayer? Now, you don't believe in obedience. See, if you were obedient to give to him what he asked of you, it may make him in a little better spirit in regard to meeting your need. Now, again, I'll tell you, I'm amazed at God. If it were up to us human beings, you know, we believe the scripture, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. But with God, he takes care of us so well. He meets our need.
Right.
But at the same time, I wonder how many needs he would have met if he would have seen the same obedience out of us that we expect out of him. Oh, God, give me the money to pay my mortgage. Well, have you been faithful to help him pay his mortgage? How about the request for food? Food for the family. Oh, God, I need the money. I ask for the money to buy food for my family. And God's a good God. He sure does feed the people here in America. Oh, but I wonder, what is his request? I wonder if God does not tell us we ought to be distributing the bread of life to our co-workers and the people around us. We ought to be sharing the word of God. God, I want bread. Well, let me ask you a question. You want bread? You want groceries? You want something for breakfast and supper and lunch? And you want to feed your family? When's the last time you shared the bread of life, which is the word of God? Because that's what he asked of you. He asked you to share the bread. He asked you to provide bread for others that are spiritually hungry. You want bread from God? God wants bread from you. You want your loved ones saved from God? God wants you to get somebody else's loved ones saved. You want money from God? God wants you to be faithful to him and his house in regard to your finances. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Prayer is asking. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. Again, God is not this big, fat, red, suited, white, bearded Santa Claus in the sky where you just go get anything you want. It's a big frolicking game to him. No! He said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Maybe if you would give to God more what he requests of you, you would have available to you more of what he could give back to you. Why don't you get your prayers answered? Do you get your prayers answered? Your request comes to God. God, I need comfort. My heart is broken. Oh, God, my heart is broken. I need comfort, God. Comfort my heart. Comfort me in my misery. What's God's request? That you comfort others. Brother Owens, I don't feel like I'm being comforted like I want comfort from God. When was the last time you comforted somebody else? That is his request of you. Do you try to comfort others? The Bible says, therefore, comfort one another with these words in John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3. I was thinking something I was so thrilled with. As you all know, or most of you do, one of the best men that this church ever has known, Ralph Oshman, went to be with the Lord this last week. After the service, we were going upstairs to the Persian room where we would serve a meal for the family afterwards. On the way up, I was speaking with Mrs. Oshman for a minute, and she said, oh, preacher, she said, all these people bringing in food and all this that everybody has done for me, I'm just not used to that. And let me tell you what, she deserved every moment of it. And let me tell you something. All she had to do is ask, and a million people would have ran to her aid. You want to know why? Because every time somebody in the past asked, she was there for them. I don't remember when we had a funeral meal after a funeral that Mrs. Osterman wasn't up here serving people and bringing in food and stirring the mashed potatoes and serving people. And when the request comes to those that are request fillers, everybody wants to run and meet their need. When somebody has a need and you run to meet it, when you make your request, somebody's going to run to your need. But be careful, folks. We're awful stingy. Oh, God, gimme, 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 for me, 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 me. Well, I've got news for you. God has some requests of you. And you may find that to some degree your prayers will be answered based on how you answer prayers. Your requests will be met based to some degree, not entirely, because God's a great God beyond you, but to some degree. I wonder if the reason you don't get some of your requests answered because you don't answer his requests. Think about it. Think about, isn't it possible you take, for instance, your request? There's some man in here. You say, Brother Owens, I would like my wife to be more submissive to me. The Bible very clearly teaches that a wife should be submissive to her husband. I want my wife to be submissive. Oh, God, I pray my wife would be submissive. And God says, okay, son, you be submissive to me. A husband is not King Tut and has no authority over him, though he has the God of the universe over him. He is to obey the Bible. And so the request comes, oh God, help my wife to be submissive. Well, how submissive are you to God? How submissive are you to the preaching of the Word of God? How submissive are you to the Word of God? We seem to want to make requests of Him, but if He were to make the same request of us, we'd say, no way! Not willing! Not going to do it! Not interested! Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall also reap. Give, and it shall be given unto you. We ask of God, what about when God asks of us? Your request. Oh God, you go to God in prayer and you say, oh God, I want my children to obey my word. Parents, they want their kids to obey the instructions given by mom and dad. I'll tell you this, you'll find your children far more obedient to your instructions if you will become obedient to your father's instructions. I've actually watched parents that want their kids to be decent, moral, submissive children. I mean, virtually good Christians. And the parents aren't even interested in living like that. They will expect it of their child, but they will not allow God to expect it of them. And then there are people that get so twisted. Well, God doesn't answer my prayers. Well, answer this question. Do you answer His requests? Do you answer His requests? Prayer, what is it? It's asking. And God has also established a principle called sowing and reaping. So it may be possible that we reap what we have sown in regard to prayer. If He asks of us, maybe it would, if we give Him what He asks, maybe He'd be a little more prone to give us when we ask. Hey, good thing is, God's goodness exceeds that, because most of you starve to death.
Right.
You would starve to death if this principle were taken to an extreme. Here's the request. You say, God, I want you to get my church, my family into church. Oh, God, get my family into church. So what's God's request to you? Get somebody else's family into church. You get somebody else's family into church. There are people sitting out here, you just begging that your family would get into church. And then you sit on your rocking chair and do nothing and just, that's it. God, I want my family in church. I want my brothers and sisters and I want my kids that are grown in church. Oh, God, why don't you answer my prayer? I think God looks down sometimes and says, well, why don't you answer mine? I ask you to get somebody else's family in church. Hey, if you can't get your own, go get somebody else's. I'll tell you something. If I were God and you said to me, get my family into church, and then I watched you getting everybody else's family in church, I'd say, boy, look down there. I'm going to answer that prayer. But you just demand of God that He give you what you want. He has more power and he has more right to demand of you that you give Him what He wants than you to demand of Him. Your request. What is your request? That people are good to your kids. Boy, I'll tell you what, get ready, Brother Bush. Get ready, school's about to start. Everybody's kids are angels and those teachers are devils. Get ready. Teachers, you're in trouble. You mess with somebody's kids, you're going to get shot at sundown. Oh, I want people to be good to my kids. Oh, I want them to be treated fairly and justly. Then let me ask you a question. What's God's request of you? That you're good to His kids. Do you treat God's kids, what's that? Other church members. You treat them justly and fairly? Oh, this is my request. And God said, I'm making the same request of you. Your request. What's your request? Your request that there would be peace in your family. Oh, you want your family and your home to be peaceful. God, give us peace at home. Oh, we don't want the fussing and the fighting and all of that. Oh, God, help us. My request of you, God, is that we have a peaceful, calm home. Now, what's God's request of you? That in His house, it is peaceful. Oh, God, give us unity among my husband and I, or my wife and I and our children. Then God's request of you is unity in His church. And you expect Him to give you unity at your home, and you come down to the church and you're a gossip and you're a backbiter and you're negative, and then you expect to have peace in your home. The reason why some of you don't have peace in your home is you're reaping what you sow. You cause a fuss down at the church, you're probably going to have some fusses at home. Oh, but you say, God, please, hey, become a peacemaker outside your home. God has a way of answering your prayer that there be peace inside your home. Oh, we expect so much out of God that we wouldn't even require of ourselves. Your request that He answers your prayers. Listen, I don't know about you, and I started this whole sermon saying, I'm not ashamed of the fact that I want a spiritual church. I'm not ashamed of that at all. I don't want to be like a bunch of these liberal churches that do anything to draw a crowd. This is an old-time religion church. That's all there is to it. Well, I tell you something. We need to be praying people. But we need to get our prayers answered. And I really believe the more you become like Him, the more you submit to Him, the more apt He is to answer your prayers. Whether we like that or not, I'm just going to tell you. You live like the world. You act like the world. You want to go out and live it up in the world and come into the church and act spiritual. You're not going to get your prayers answered. I'm not trying to disappoint you. I'm just trying to help you get the things that you need. There are some prerequisites. You know, if one of my children misbehave and then turn around and say, Dad, can I have $5? No. Well, I'll go ask Mom. I mean, if a child has to be corrected and disciplined because of disobedience and rejecting what I say, and then they say, Dad, can I have some ice cream? No. But we expect our God to be different. I disobey you. I push you away. I don't do what you want me to do. Oh, but God, can you give me everything that I want? I think there are times He says, no, not until you get some things straightened out. Your request that He answers prayer. His request that you answer His request. Now, what should we do about this? What should we do? Well, I think we ought to answer His daily requests. I think if you'll answer His daily requests of you, you have a better shot at having your daily requests of Him met. I've got a hunch that there is something that God wants of every one of us every day of our life. Why did He give us that day to live? Just to eat, drink, sleep, watch TV? No. He gave you that day because in that day there was something He wanted of you. Find it. Meet His requests. If you want your daily requests met, look for God's daily requests and meet them. Hey, what should we do about this? Answer His little requests. Hey, if you will answer His little request, then He will answer your little request. What little thing? Do you brush aside and say, that's not such a big deal? If God wants it of you, it's a big deal. Right. So, if I answer His daily request, I set myself up to reap what I have sown. If I answer His little request, I may set myself up to reap what I have sown. Hey, make sure you answer the big requests. You're more apt to get your big request answered. What is it? What is it? What big thing has God asked you to do? What big thing has God asked you to change about your life? What big thing has God asked you to give up for the cause of Christ? What big thing has He asked you to do and you're rejecting and pushing Him away? you may do without some big request of yours to him being answered. Hey, you know what I do? I think if we want to handle this thing properly, we ought to answer quickly. If we reap what we've sown in regard to prayer, if we'll answer him quickly, maybe he'll answer us a little more quickly. Now, we have to let God be God, but I'll just tell you this. I believe in sowing and reaping. I believe that prayer is asking. And I believe the more I meet his needs, I think I win his favor. Hey, I'll tell you what we could do. Why don't we answer him by going the extra mile? I wonder if God said, I want you to do some of this, and you said, you know what, God, I'm not just do some of that. I'm going to go all the way. I'm going to hold back nothing. You may make a request to him, and he'll say, you know what, you wanted a little. I'm going to give you a lot. I'm going to respond to you the way you have responded to me. I'm going to give to you the way you have given to me. Most of us look at what minimal little thing we can do for God just to stay within the confines of his will. What would happen if we say, no holds barred, God, you've got me. You've got me all. Whatever you want, I'm going to go all the way with it. I wonder if God looked down and said, now what I'm going to do for you is you're going to have all of me. You're going to have all of me. I'm going to give you all of me. I'm going to hold back nothing. I'm going to give you what you need. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. I'd like to answer all of his requests. What would happen if I answered all of God's requests and he would allow me to reap by him answering mine? And the only ones that God won't answer are the ones that would hurt me. Hey, what would happen if I was in a constant search for God's requests? In my Bible reading, what do you want, God? What do you want? How do you want me to live? What do you want me to change? How do you want me to improve? How do you want me to give? In the preaching, submission to His Holy Spirit. What would happen if I was in a constant search for His requests of me? Can you imagine God sitting on the edge of His throne saying, okay, Jeff, what do you want? Come on, ask. I just can't wait to give it to you. I can't wait to get involved. Wonder if God responds to you the way you respond to Him. And I think He would have every right to, based on the principle of be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And again, I think it's a wonderful thing that God does not function totally off of this. We'd all starve to death. He's a good God, but I do believe there are some things we do without. Because we would dare to make requests of Him that if He made them of us, we've already proven we'll not give Him what He wants. Are you saved? Are you saved today? Tell you what, you ask Him to save you, He'll answer. He will answer. If you die this very day and you're not sure you go to heaven, you have a God that loves you. He wants to save you. He wants to take you to heaven someday when you die. And all you'll have to do is this. You're going to have to realize something. You're going to have to realize you're a sinner. Your move. You say, what's my move in this thing? You're going to have to realize you're a sinner. There's a penalty for your sin. Death and hell separated from God for all eternity. You'll have to realize that you can't save yourself. Jesus has to save you. You say in your heart, I believe that, I can't save myself, I'm a sinner, I deserve to go to hell. You place your faith in Him, the minute you make your move, He makes His move immediately and you're saved. You move, He moves. Your move is not to clean up your life. You don't clean up your life to get saved. You trust Jesus Christ. Salvation requires perfection. You can't do it. He did it. That's why He died for you. It's a gift, but your move has to be placing your faith in Him. Then His move is He saves you. The prerequisite for you getting saved. You know, these people say, oh, I'll take Him as Savior, but they don't realize they're a sinner. They don't ask God to forgive me their sin. That's not getting saved. Oh, there are people walking around, oh, He's my Savior. Well, you better realize something if He's your Savior. There was a time and a place where you realized you were a sinner and you deserved to go to hell, and Jesus was a Savior, and you asked Him to forgive you of your sin. That was your move. Well, I'm born in America. America is a Christian nation. That makes me a Christian. That's a joke. Well, I go to church. That makes me a Christian. That's funny. It's not what the Bible teaches. You got to make your move. What is that? Humble yourself and realize you're a sinner. You deserve to go to hell. It takes a Savior to get you out of your mess. You say, I accept that. I want Him. He said, you got it. You made your move. I make my move. He saves you. But if you won't make your move, He can't make His.
Right.
If you won't reach out and say, I'll take Him as Savior, He can't reach back and say, you're saved. That's the principle. But if you want to be saved, you can leave this building today on your way to heaven. Some of you, you could start getting some of your prayers answered. Just make sure that you're meeting His requests. It sets you up to have your requests better met. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. God is saying, you got to make a move, then I make a move. You make a move, then I make a move. I started this sermon by saying this. Do you get your prayers answered? God wants to answer your prayers. He can't just throw out anything and everything you want all the time. He's established in His Word some instructions. If we'll follow them, we're more apt to get what we ask for. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes.